This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Sharit Abdullah, and the wonderful Julian Ng, who's back in studios with us this morning.
Thank you, Lynn.
It is 7 o'clock in the morning, Thursday the 5th of September. And overnight, major benchmarks in the US climbed amid easing tensions in Hong Kong, potential for new stimulus measures out of China, as well as growing hopes the UK could avoid a disorderly exit from the European Union.
And the markets in the US cheered this move. Dow Jones was up just slightly under 1%, and S&P 500 was up above slightly 1%, and NASDAQ was up 1.3%.
Yeah, same thing in the Asian market as well. Regional Bursa has mostly closed higher. Hong Kong making the biggest gain, jumped about 3.9%, and then South Korea finishing close to 1.16%. Japan Nikkei up 0.12. We're looking at Shanghai stock up close to 1%, and KLCI 0.53% higher.
So to give us more insight into global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Tony Nash, Chief Economist and CEO of Complete Intelligence. Good morning, Tony. Thank you for joining us. So US consumer sentiment weakened in August, albeit less than expected. What are your expectations for the slew of economic data coming out this week?
You know, we think consumers in August were inundated by a news cycle that was obsessed with recession. We think there's a lot of sentimental change, but not necessarily that much change in terms of retail spending, maybe slightly. Our concern is more for, say, November than it is for now. So we see a lot of news about downturns in Europe and Asia. Hasn't quite hit the U.S. yet, although some firms and some families are tightening their belts a bit.
And how do you think this will influence the markets, especially with the background of continued flip-flop in the trade tensions?
Well, the markets today were traded more broadly than they have been since about the 8th of August. So, you know, we saw a lot of the traders take off in the second half of August, and then we saw markets rise about 1% today with a much more breadth in trading volumes. So it's a positive sign for markets. We did expect a pullback in August. We have expected a return in September. Some of that is on progress in trade, but there is just a return of strength a bit in September. We expect slight returns of strength for October, November, but then about mid-November, December, we expect a bit of a pullback, probably lasting until Q2.
And Tony, taking a look at Europe, now markets are expecting a stimulus package at the next ECB meeting. What do you see coming out of it?
You know, it's interesting. If the ECB undertakes a little bit of QE and Germany does some fiscal stimulus, it could really help the Bund rates and interest rates in Europe to return to positive territory. And that's, you know, one of the interesting signs in Europe of a bit more health. So, you know, it could be that they put in a bit more money. The problem is when that stops, things go negative in Europe. So there is an underlying demand gap, and that's the real risk. So this is everything from international and emerging market slowdowns all the way to demographic issues in Europe. So there are a number of layers of problems within the European economy.
And Tony, more broadly, given the volatility in the markets that we've seen over the past couple of weeks, what trading opportunities do you see and where?
Well, you know, with a bit of stability coming back to Hong Kong, I mean, that's a no-brainer, but paying attention to Hong Kong, but we don't expect Hong Kong to return to a calm market. We expect volatility in Hong Kong for the next several months until that issue is worked out. You know, we do see the U.S. as kind of the cleanest dirty shirt out there, and we see dollar strength continuing over the next few months as well. So as emerging markets continue to have a rough time, we'll likely see portfolio flows move into the U.S.
Thank you so much, Tony. And that was Tony Nash, Chief Economist and CEO of Complete Intelligence, seeing opportunities in the US and Hong Kong as it heads towards slightly more stable territory. But also this morning, there has been quite a lot of news out of the UK, because the UK Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, he's faced a double defeat in the Commons after MPs turned down his motion for a general election.
That's right. That double defeat, number one, the MPs have blocked, have supported a deal to block a no-deal situation in Brexit. And the other one is that they have also stopped Boris Johnson's bid to have a snap election.
So the SNP and the Liberal Democrat are criticising the Prime Minister's motion as a plot to make sure the UK leave the EU without a deal. So, but what's interesting is that despite all those years of them actually wanting to call for general election, now they are hitting back as a result of that, saying that, hey, why the U-turn, really? Mm.
Yeah, so with the latest defeat, Johnson did want MPs to agree to a snap election, so an early general election on the 15th of October. It was always a bit of a tough ask because he needed two-thirds of all MPs to vote in favour of it. So that would have required participation as well from Labour, which obviously he did not get. But over also in Hong Kong, which we discussed with Tony this morning, Hong Kong's leader Carrie Lam has said that she will withdraw the highly controversial extradition bill, which has triggered months of protests. And the proposal was introduced in April, and it would have allowed criminal suspects to be extradited to mainland China. It was suspended in June, but she stopped just short of scrapping it. So now she's saying she will withdraw the bill.
So this is one of the five demands that the protesters are making to withdraw this bill, and it's finally happened. I'm not sure whether this would stop the protests that are going on, but Lam also announced other measures that appear to be designed to soothe the unrest. For example, two senior officials would join an existing inquiry into police conduct during the protests.
Yeah, and one of the other demands is that an independent investigation with regards to the alleged police brutality against the protesters. And Hong Kong is now in its 14th successive week of demonstration, guys, and which saw fresh violence between police and activists.
Yeah, that's right. There is a report today that issued by JP Morgan saying that Hong Kong property prices would slide a further 30% from what it is already right now. And the property index for listed property companies in Hong Kong are technically in a bear market right now, having fallen more than 20% since early this year.
Yes, and just like Tony said, so Tony sees some buying opportunities in Hong Kong since it has returned to relative stability with this new announcement. But at the same time, he doesn't expect it to return to being a calm market, because the question is whether the actual withdrawal of the bill is going to stop the protests. Mm. Because much like, I think, the Yellow Vest protests that were happening last year and towards the start of this year in France, it seems like the protests have really taken on a life and a life of their own, over and above the extradition bill, because the extradition bill was a symbol, right, of Chinese involvement in what should have been Hong Kong's sovereignty. And whether or not this new concession by Carrie Lam is going to actually have an effect, that is going to be the big question there.
Yeah, I think it'd be also interesting to watch the kind of signals that people are taking from China's position as a result of this. Is it a sign that the Chinese authorities are backing down? A lot of analysts in Hong Kong are saying that the Chinese are stopping short of actually moving into Hong Kong with an army and using a very hard-line way of clamping the protests down. This is sort of like a sign that the Chinese government doesn't want to do that.
Mm. I mean, so because looking at one of the demands, for example, I mean, what they also want is full democracy. And I mean, if we look at, again, what was
realistically
signed...
Realistically, is that going to happen?
Exactly. I mean, back in 1997, it was just a temporary autonomy where they get to govern themselves, and that's going to be up to 2048. And up to 2048, it's going to be going back to... under the administration of China. So just trying to tie down with what they're demanding and what is agreed upon, that's going to be the challenge.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.